Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
John had to work yesterday. I did not. Sorry, John. We, as a family, came out of the holiday weekend okay.
You talking about Lotus or you and just significant other and your cats?
Just health-wise. Yeah, just health-wise. Okay. You know, we enjoyed the weekend. Launched the Hank, official Hank launch party. That was kind of cool.
Dude, signage
new country
out.
Station. Yeah, it's everywhere.
I was out at a local watering hole watching Knicks-Pacers game one last week. Saw a lot of Hank signage over at Whiskey. You guys are doing stuff.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. They're everywhere and at the Palms. Did a launch party with Dina Carter. Giving away tickets to Kenny Chesney. We better get those tickets, right? Kenny Chesney tickets over at the Sphere.
So, crank for Hank. That's the hashtag.
Crank the Hank, yeah.
Oh, crank the Hank.
Crank
Excuse
the
me.
Hank. Crank yeah. the Hank. But did some drinking here and there. Came out of the weekend okay. I found out earlier that your SO may have smashed her toe.
My wife, yes.
Yeah. That's tough.
Stubbed her toe. This was a non-memorial late night having some beverages with one another. That is a cool thing about having a partner in crime, but also being tied down with children. So on the weekends, we'll just put the kids to bed and then get drunk in our room. And, like, you know what I mean? Watch movies. And we're going through the Star Wars movies, by the way. More on that later. And she just, I was watching her walk,
yep.
Stubbed the toe on the corner of the bed. But it was,
I hate that
it was
so
loud.
Much.
I will say, like, it was a very loud, and maybe now thinking back, the extra loudness was the cracking of the bone.
Ugh.
Because she hit it, and it was loud and audible, and I even looked. I was like, were you running? I thought I was watching you. Were you running? It was just, she was just walking from our closet to the other side of the room, and she goes down like a sack of potatoes.
She went down.
Yeah, she went down. And I'm like, all right, like, I stub my toe. I get it. It's one of the more irritating pains. Like, I get angry when I stub my toe. I don't know why. I just feel anger when I do it.
Sucks.
It does.
There's
suck.
No reason it should happen.
Yeah.
It's just sloppiness.
But it's the only
sloppiness.
It's the only form of pain that I feel that initiate, like, that exudes. Like, I get angry.
Yeah.
Anything else, I don't get angry. I'm just like, oh, that hurts. But that and hitting my head on my trunk, like, those are the two things that I just start to feel rage, and I don't know why. So I get it. It sucks. Right? Like, so, but then she's like kind of going on, and I'm like, Isabel, I'm like, okay, like, we'll take care of you. Lay down. Like, we'll be okay. I'll get you some ice. Next morning, that thing was purple. It was swollen.
Oh, no.
She couldn't walk.
Did you have to go into the system?
So she went to our
hellishness of the system,
our great medical system.
Oh, God.
And I got sent today while I was at work. And actually, I'm not a professional because I couldn't hold it together. Because, you know, on my laptop, I have my thing up. So, like, when I get text messages, they will come through. And so I just get a picture of an X-ray, and I just start laughing while I'm on camera because there's a picture, there's an X-ray of my wife's foot and an arrow pointing to the pinky toe, and that thing is broken in half, dude. That thing is cracked all the way through.
I hate that so much for her.
Totally broken.
God. What a nice lady. Miles Simmons is in. He's got such a lovely wife, and now she's got a broken toe.
It's sad. Yeah, wow. You know, JVT, I hope she's okay. Like, that's, I've been there where, you know, the thing happens and, you know, they tell you, oh, you'll be all right, la, la, la. And then you go home and then, like, it was my ankle. I remember this when I was a kid. And, like, I woke up and it was purple, right? Yep. And so then my mom's a doctor and she, like, gets me in and, like, takes me to where she works and is like, this is bad, you know? And so, like, that was... That whole kind of situation, man, that's not great.
It is karmic justice, though, because I broke my toe last year on the bathtub, mm-hmm. and she did not believe me. And so then,
no.
Yeah. So I don't feel too bad. Okay. Like, oh, okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, that is karmic justice. I kind of like that in some way, but not, you know, in the way that your wife's going to be hurt for, you know,
yes.
a long time. But, you know, like, you know, at least it's the pinky toe, right? You know, not that you don't need the pinky toe, because as I've always been told, like, if you got that, you know, amputated, then you basically have to learn how to walk again. Mm-hmm. But it's, you can live with this.
It's the favorite of my toes of hers. I have them ranked.
All right, Rex Ryan. Nice.
Oh. There you go. Miles Simmons.
She texted me. She texted me at the hospital. She goes, "I don't know. Somebody's got to. Somebody's got to work with my feet." And I just responded, "Lucky."
We got a break. Getting creeped out.
What are you doing?
Whee!
It's my job on the show. Cofield and Company, Miles Simmons is with us. You know, I wanted to make a transition with Karmic Justice because I feel like the offseason sometimes for Miles, who works for Pro Football Talk, is like, come on, we gotta hit these stories, make a big deal of these stories. I feel like your Karmic Justice is Aaron Rodgers making comments in the last couple of days about, well, you know, I may go to a team that could be playing Chicago on the road. Like, what are we doing here? We just release the news so the hounds can come out on Sports Talk Radio and elsewhere in PFT, and let's talk about Aaron Rodgers finally officially going to the Steelers.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a matter of time unless he decides that he's going to, you know, stay out here with me in his Malibu beach house, right? Except I don't live in Malibu. I just mean in the sense of Southern California. But it's like, I don't know. At a certain point, like, the Steelers are just going to be like, yeah, that's enough. No thanks. And your second option right now is Mason Rudolph. And, you know, I think once we get past June 1st, then maybe Kirk Cousins also could potentially become an option. And obviously June 1st is this week. So, you know, the way the contracts work, if you get traded after June 1st, it's less of a cap hit this year. It can be spread out further over multiple years. And, you know, my understanding is that the Falcons reportedly, you know, wanted a team to pay some of that more of that guaranteed money, about $20 million. He's got about $37.5 million remaining. But even if that doesn't happen, you know, I think the June 1st demarcation date, you could be looking at something for Kirk Cousins and then also something potentially for Jalen Ramsey. But since you asked me about that quarterback that used to play for the Packers and also the Jets, like, I think his whole thing is, I'm going to milk this for all it's worth while saying, why is everybody talking about me? And it's like, and I don't really understand that kind of thing. It's like, you know why people are talking about you. You're one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, that is what it is. You know, multiple time MVP. But to my thinking of the Steelers is like, when is enough enough? You know, like, when are you going to say, all right, you're all in or you're all out? And what I think is really interesting is, you know, you got guys like Cam Hayward, who have already been like, hey, either you want to be a Steeler or you don't. Like, let's go. And to this point, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, obviously said to McAfee that he's got some personal things going on in his life. And, you know, I totally respect that. But at this point, it's all voluntary anyway. So, you know, and if you really need to, you can get excused from mandatory minicamp too. So all of that, like, just, I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird.
I mean, I think there's so many things I want to ask you here. But it's also like, I want this to happen, and I don't, but I want it to happen because I want to see the press conference where Mike Tomlin is asked, hey, Mike, Aaron Rodgers thinks that the polio vaccine shouldn't be there, and he and RFK have been talking about it on the Joe Rogan pod. What do you make of this during week 9 as you head into, like, Cleveland? Like, this marriage needs to happen.
I mean, I think if there's anybody who is going to be able to, like, swap that kind of question away, it's Mike Tomlin. So, like, I would sort of like to see that too, but then I think that the answer that we get from Mike Tomlin is not going to be something that is even going to be very much fodder for us. Like, it's just going to be like, yeah, I don't think about those things because they're not, you know, on the field. He'd say it in a more clever way than that, but like that, right, to me is what it would be.
Okay, the serious question though, is we saw, I think this was either late yesterday or early today, Jeremy Fowler came out and said the B plan is what you said, which is Kirk Cousins. If this falls through, then it's Kirk. Is this the Steelers sending that out publicly? Like, bro, like, let's do this thing. Like, we want to sign you. We want to move on. But if you're not going to do this, then we have our plan, and we're going to do this and go get Kirk.
I think there's a little bit of that going on for sure. Yeah, and I think it would be silly of the Steelers not to do something like that because you can't have a quarterback who's not on your team keeping you hostage. Like, that doesn't really make any sense. And even if you go get Kirk Cousins, right, like, I don't necessarily know that he's going to be terrific. I think that with a strong run game, he'll be all right. But, I mean, watching Kirk Cousins last year was kind of painful at points. Like, it was really painful. I watched enough Falcons games to know that. And that's why he got replaced late in the year by Michael Penix. And it kind of makes the Falcons right, in the sense that they picked a guy right after they picked, they signed, I should say, Kirk Cousins. But then it's also making them wrong because you would have thought signing Kirk Cousins to that contract that you would at least have him for two seasons, right? And that he would be your starter for at least two seasons. So I think there's a chance that Cousins is significantly better in 2025 than he was in 2024 because he's that much further removed from the Achilles injury. And when you have that kind of serious injury at his big age, like that's something that I think really does need to be considered. So I think that Kirk Cousins could fit well with the Steelers and what they're trying to do. I think that he's probably a better option than Mason Rudolph. I think he's not necessarily as good as an option as Aaron Rodgers. But then again, you know, we're not talking about cream of the crop here. We're in, you know, it's May 27th. And the Steelers don't know who their quarterback is. And they don't have two, like, really good viable candidates like you have. I say really good viable, and I'm about to say the Colts, but you understand what I mean, right? Like, that's at least a competition where we understand who the winner's going to be and why. Like, you know, with the Browns, too, like, they're doing some weird stuff. But at least we kind of know what they're doing on May 27th. We don't really necessarily know what the Steelers are doing other than waiting for Aaron Rodgers. And, like, that is not necessarily the position that you want to be in.
What did you think of Rodgers? This is a weird one. He was asked a question about the Saints, and he was like, no. In short form, he said no. And I think some Saint fans got bent by that. I saw a story where it's like Saint fans are saying, hey, the feeling's mutual. Well, it should be mutual. You want to suck this year. You don't want Aaron Rodgers as a bridge guy.
Yes.
Did you have any problem with him? He didn't diss New Orleans, but he's just like, no, and I've been there, and no.
He's like, I don't want to live in the state of Louisiana, and like that's something that Aaron Rodgers and I actually kind of agree on.
For sure. I don't know if he really meant it.
I mean it,
because my God, your rants at the Super Bowl were freaking epic. I love that place. I was like, maybe I don't like it here.
I don't know, man. Like, New Orleans is not necessarily for me. If I want to be in a city of degeneracy, I want to be in the one I'm talking to right now, Las Vegas. So, yeah, I don't think that they would be a good fit. You know, when it comes to Rodgers and the Saints, just based on what it is that they're trying to do right now, you've got Kellen Moore, first-year head coach. He's just kind of trying to figure things out. Derek Carr retired because of the shoulder, but, you know, there's also some kind of weirdness going on there, too. So I feel like they've got Tyler Shuck. We'll see how good he can be. You know, he's a guy that, because of his age, like, you want him to get on the field sooner than later. Spencer Rattler, you know, Jake Haener is also kind of in that competition, and he's going to be out until training camp, they said, I think, last week. So it's just one of those spots where I don't think Rodgers is a good fit for the Saints, but I don't think the Saints are a very good fit for Rodgers either, if that makes sense.
I love getting worked up, or getting fans worked up. I love fans to get worked up around training camp. And JVT just showed me something earlier.
Oh.
It was a Shedeur Sanders throw, just one, and it was awesome, right? So you carefully pick out your different clips of Shedeur Sanders. I believe, and I know this for a fact, one of the discussions on Sports Talk Radio in Cleveland was, hey, is it fair to give most of the reps to one of the quarterbacks instead of splitting them up evenly? Which I think means, like, Shedeur should get an even amount of reps as Kenny Pickett. And I'm like, that can't happen. If you plan on having a quarterback ready for the season, you can't have four guys splitting reps. It just doesn't work that way.
Right. I mean, especially in 2025 NFL. That it's not possible to have a true four-way quarterback competition. It can't happen. There's not enough snaps. There's just not enough time. I mean, from the standpoint of your offseason is right now, where you only get a limited amount of time on the field where you can have quarterbacks going up against defenses, to then in training camp where you're not running two-a-days. You know, it's not 2000 anymore. It's 2025. There's a limited amount of snaps and there's a limited amount of practice time that you have. And so because of that, you're not going to be able to get two rookies completely up to speed for practice and like games and stuff. Like, that's not happening. And Kenny Pickett, you know, is almost in that same boat because this is his first offseason program in training camp with the Cleveland Browns. So Joe Flacco, like, he's a vet guy. He came in off the street, started five games for the Browns down the stretch in 23. So he is already familiar with the language, the personnel, like the coaches, all of that stuff. He's got the leg up and the advantage inherently, especially because, again, veteran status, you know, all that stuff. But, like, if you think that this is going to be a quote-unquote fair competition, like, it can't be. You have to rig it in some way for somebody who you see over the course of the next 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, however long the rest of the all-season program is. they're going to impress you in some way, and you got to think, well, let's try to get this guy set up as best as we possibly can, whether it's Dylan Gabriel, whether it's Shedeur Sanders, whether it's Kenny Pickett. And the fallback, if that doesn't work, in my mind, would be then Joe Flacco. That's the only way this four-way thing makes sense, because it doesn't make sense.
Miles Simmons with us, Pro Football Talk, also PFT Live, where you can hear him. So I placed a wager in this offseason on a division winner, the Jacksonville Jaguars at 3-1 to win the AFC South. Now, most of it is I actually think the Texans might low-key stink. I think they are screwing C.J. Stroud over with this offensive line. But some of it has to do with Duval and my guy Liam, which I think Trayvon Walker likes him.
Sorry.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
That was great. Yeah.
Trayvon Walker likes him, though.
Yeah, yeah, he does. I mean, he loves him and loves the energy that he's bringing in, like all the rest of the coaches. And I mean, that's something that's good. You want to hear that on May 27th, right? If it was the opposite and he said, like, you know, I mean, he's fine. I think then we really got an issue, right, as a first-year head coach. But I think if Liam Cohen does implement things in the way that he did with Baker Mayfield last year, right, I think the Bucs offense, just personnel-wise, is a little bit more talented than the Jags is. But, you know, you add Travis Hunter to that. You know, I think he's primarily going to be a receiver for them. At least it's kind of what it seems like. He's going to start primarily at receiver and then also play a little bit corner. Brian Thomas Jr. had one of the best rookie years last season that nobody really heard of, because he was playing with a crappy team and Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones. So if you get those two guys and you can actually do a lot with them offensively, and Trevor Lawrence takes some steps forward in his progression, because, I mean, I don't know if it's just Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if it's Doug Peterson and, like, what they were or weren't teaching him. But, like, Trevor Lawrence just seems to me like he's stuck in the mud, and he's being paid like one of the best players in the National Football League, and he's not. He's just not. So that's something they also need to figure out. But if you look at what Liam Cohen did last year with Baker Mayfield, I mean, Baker Mayfield had arguably the best season of his career, right? I mean, he was getting the ball in different places. They had a much better run game than they had. So Liam Cohen, I think, knows what he's doing when it comes to offense. We'll see if that then translates to the Jaguars and all of the other things, because the Jaguars are kind of just there. And if you're in that AFC South, like, that's not a bad bet, just given what else the division is right now.
Right. So to that point, am I kind of barking up the right tree here with Houston? We got the news, I think, today, or at least I just saw it, that they're going to do preseason camp or a week with the Panthers. We entered a weird universe where Bryce Young looked like maybe he was actually going to be better than C.J. Stroud for like 2 weeks last year. But I don't love with what's going on around C.J. Stroud in that offense. But scheme change, new bodies along the offensive line, although Tunsil's gone. Am I right in having doubts about Houston?
I don't think you're wrong. Let's see what the offense looks like after a month. Because things did absolutely get stale with Bobby Slowick, and he didn't necessarily seem to know what he needed to do with the offensive line personnel in order to get the most out of that group. So, I mean, I'm sure that was not the easiest decision for D'Amico Ryans to let go of somebody, you know, Bobby Slowick, that he had worked together for a while with both in San Fran and then with Houston. But Nick Caley is somebody that, you know, everybody around the Rams, which is where he came from, speaks very, very highly of. And so that offense is still going to be of the, like, Shanahan, McVay, West Coast offense ilk. And it probably is not going to be that much more of a difficult transition for C.J. Stroud, right? If you're going from one to the next, like, I would assume that the terminology is going to be pretty similar. So that kind of takes away a barrier when you're talking about a new offensive coordinator, because a lot of times that does mean, oh, it's a brand new scheme, it's brand new, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's probably going to be a lot of continuity, I would think, in terms of at least terminology and philosophy and, like, kind of how they do things. But it's in the margins where they really need to improve. And, like, the margins aren't necessarily pass protection and things like that. You know what I mean? But, like, that's – if you have a better understanding of how to use your personnel, and you hope that Nick Caley does, then you can see C.J. Stroud continue his upward trajectory in the progression. I'm not with you on the Bryce Young is – I'm more optimistic about Bryce Young than Stroud. I'm just not there. Like, I can't get there with that. But, you know, I understand why one would feel that way. It's just, I'm not there.
I'll save this for this season, I'm telling you.
Sure.
I'm telling you.
Sure.
We need our weekly fix of PFT, Miles Simmons with us, PFT and Belichick and Jordan.
Oh, boy.
So, over the weekend, and Florio loves this, and the fact that Florio is an attorney, he's all over this stuff. So, Jordan Hudson over the weekend posted something to the effect of, Pablo Torre's findings have been nothing short of factually incorrect, slanderous, defamatory, and targeted. Can y'all please stop giving credibility to this reporter? And now I see a headline on Pro Football Talk. Pablo Torre will sue UNC if necessary over Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson public records request. I will just again say to neophytes in this world, much of the media is not to be screwed with, especially when you start mentioning slanderous and defaming. It's a dangerous game, Miss Jordan, if you want to play it.
Yeah, I think that that's one where, you know, we kind of have an internal joke where it's like Pablo Torre F's around and finds out. It's like Jordan Hudson may be effing around and then we'll find out from Pablo Torre. Because, like, that's not, it's just not a thing that you should be doing. And it speaks to her lack of media training, which is part of what all the reporting has been.
But she's a PR professional. Oh, no, she's not.
Is she?
Yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm not as interested in this story and, like, the salaciousness of the story as we get to certain points. I mean, like...
Florio's right, but his point is, Florio's, like, really interested in it.
Well, of course, but I just... Miles, this aspect exhausts me. But this aspect of no-nonsense Bill Belichick tarnishing his relationship for this woman is insane.
He's not a pro football coach anymore. He coaches at North Carolina because nobody wanted him in the league. Like, all this consternation over the North Carolina football coach, and I realize that he is a six-time winning, you know, head coach in the Super Bowl. He's got 8 rings, and he's going to change his name of his boat to 9 rings, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Like, I think the things that are interesting are when they directly relate to what Belichick is doing now. But, like, the stuff about him being in an Airbnb, I don't care about that. Why do I need to care about that? Like, that to me doesn't have anything to do with, like, what's going on? Like, their relationship, I get, like, ooh. But, like, it doesn't do much for me when we're, like, talking about the man coming out of an Airbnb. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't know.
That chest.
I know that people care. I get it. I just don't.
That chest, though.
What Miles is not, and you're not talking about Jordans. You're talking about Belichick.
I'm talking about Jay. I'm talking about Belichick. Weird. Yeah, I just want to be clear.
Good clarification.
Yes,
there, yeah.
I have been obsessed with Bill Belichick's chest for a very long time.
Very beefy.
Yeah.
Very beefy. In closing...
Feet, chest, what aren't you obsessed with, JV?
I know. We go back to that at the beginning of the conversation.
Man of many tastes.
What does concern Miles Simmons or travel woes, and I'm here for this. I'm not always here for Pete King's travel woes. Denver Airport is a living hell.
Whew. You know, here's the thing. I like going through Denver in some ways because it breaks up a long travel. You know, if you're going west to east... And I'm a United person, which is, like, rare these days. But, you know, they fly direct to Cleveland. That's where I'm from, blah, blah, blah. So if I'm going through somewhere, I don't mind going through Denver because, like I said, it breaks it up. But going through Denver this weekend was bad, man. Oh, my God, it was terrible. And, like, Friday, when I left Friday, I was going to my pal's, my friend's wedding shower. And they're getting married in July. I'm officiating the wedding, so that's why I was going. It was great. Time.
You're officiating. Yes.
You said a bunch of things there.
You can't just roll by that.
Well, first off, what's a wedding shower? And second, you're officiating?
A wedding shower is basically an engagement party, but it's because that they're having, you know, the wedding out here, they're from Dallas. So they're not inviting that many people. So I think that this was more like the time for the friends and family who are not invited to the wedding to come and say congratulations. Yes, and I am officiating. This will actually be the second wedding that I will officiate in my life. Should be the third, but that's another story. I am ordained by the American Marriage Ministries here in the state of California, the great state of California. So I am looking forward to getting the power vested in me.
You have to do this. Are you going to keep track of the couples you get married and their divorce rate? You have to.
Absolutely. Well, okay, I mean, so far I'm one for one. Not in terms of getting divorced, but in terms of staying together. Yeah. They're about to have their third kid, in a couple months here. So it's really good. I think that's a pretty good success rate so far. So hopefully we go two for two.
As an example, if I were getting married, because you're keeping track of this, would you call Adam Hill? Would you call John and go, "Hey, is this going to work out? Because if it's not, I'm not doing it for Cofield. If this is a sham, like, I'm out. And then I would love for you to come back to me and like, hey, I did some research. Doesn't sound like it's going to work out. I'll pass.
Oh, no, I would do it. I don't mind doing it. I think it's a fun thing to do. I think it's a nice thing to do.
I mean, imagine ruining your perfect streak for Steve Cofield, though, you know?
Well, that's okay.
It's pretty risky. I'm pretty up and down, pretty volatile, so don't do it.
That's fine.
All right, Miles. Okay. Damn, we got some good information there at the end and throughout. And no more Miss Hudson updates until Florio gets us going again.
Yeah, well, that'll be next week.
Yeah, we'll see you, buddy.
All right, bye, guys.
There is Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. As you said, PFT Live, any of our friends who are doing, I mean, that's big time stuff. That's not just video. We put out video. You do big time stuff. Miles is at the highest of all high levels. Imagine what Peacock is going to be once the NBA is on there. It's going to freaking explode.
I'm national, Steve.
Miles is a megastar, sure you are.
Now back to Cofield and Company to go behind the patch with Adam Hill on ESPN Las Vegas.
Behind the patch. Yep, lift it up. You get the information. Greg Salerno finally got it last week. I'm not going to say it's autumn windbags. Like, that's pretty good. The podcast that RJ Clifford does.
Oh, yeah. Like he finally got the name?
Yeah, he finally got, you know, we're going behind the patch.
It is a little freaky.
It is a little weird.
Yeah.
You don't really want to go behind the patch in most cases.
Yeah.
There's a reason the patch is on.
Correct.
But we work it out. As I said last week, you know, you look under the patch and Adam Hill staring you right in the face. That's not great either. But he has good information. Right, Adam? What do you got today? What's going on?
Not much. Just I'm glad. I noticed that he did catch on to that last week, and it was very jarring that he didn't know what it was before.
No idea. It might be jarring. Well, I don't know. It's more jarring. Big contracts for AJ Cole or your love of AJ Cole? I obviously, you guys are going out to celebrate this, right?
Well, AJ's wife posted a celebration video yesterday. AJ in the living room dancing to some.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it was. Some anime music, maybe. Excited about the win. The win of the contract for sure. So yeah, it was a pretty good moment, and reached out, congratulated him. It's a great honor for him to be the highest paid punter in the league, and well deserved.
How often do you reach out to congratulate someone that you cover?
Not often. It was just a well-deserved, just, hey. Well, it's also,
well,
there's also a method to it. Like, would I ever do that for no reason or unprompted? No. But I am trying to work on a story right now that I've been trying to reach out through him for. So,
yep.
You know, instead of just, hey, can I work on this? Can I work on this? Can I work on this? It's, hey, break up the chain with a little congratulations on the contract.
How did you do it? Was it like a congrats with exclamation marks? Was it like, hey, man, just wanted to say congratulations. I appreciate everything you've done for me. What was the format of the text?
Wow.
It was like, I'll say he used more exclamation marks in the response than I did.
Sure.
I mean.
It was just a big, you know, thank you. I think it was just said. Hey, congrats, well-deserved. Like, very simple.
Oh, simple? Okay.
Like 11? I said, I wanted to break up the requests of all the story requests I've had lately.
Hmm. Okay. Oh, he's sarcastic, AJ Cole. $11 million guaranteed. I don't know what this means in the you know, across the landscape of punters. It's 4 years, 16 mil. What does 11 mil guaranteed mean in the punting world?
Reset the market, Steve.
Hmm.
That's what it's all about. When you're a free agent, we're the best in the league, you're resetting the market. So now everybody's going to be looking for AJ Cole money.
That's awesome.
It's gonna be a new term around the league. Look, he's the best punter in the league in my opinion for everything he does all around. And so, you know, the Raiders want to keep him around. There's no question about that. He's been great in the community too. So they wanted to make this, you know, a long term answer a punter for them. And look, the cap's going up. That's the other part of this, right? And we've all seen what happened to it this year. It's gonna happen again next year. You know, this is not that much of a more of a percentage that other guys have made in the past.
Ooh, Brian Anger's up for a contract soon, so he'll be looking for.
Oh boy,
yeah, he'll be looking for that money.
Reset the market, then AJ's gonna have to go ask for Anger money
next year. Hold out. There we go. Who could be up next for a Raiders contract if they're, you know, reworking some contracts and extending guys out?
Well, if you're gonna make a follow up to this one. There's a very obvious answer to this question, right? Get Daniel Carlson his money. Last year left on the deal? One of the best in the league. Obviously, last year the numbers weren't quite the same, mostly because of one game, really. But I think, you know, Daniel Carlson with 1 year left is the guy. And obviously, Jacoby Myers is out there, too, that people have been talking about. But I think Daniel Carlson has got to be the target. You got to lock him up.
So what's the schedule this week for the Raiders?
Tomorrow is coordinators. It's offensive assistants and defensive assistants.
Okay.
So they're just going to be hanging out in a room. It's one of my favorite days that they do, but I think the coaches hate it. They just sit in a room. It's kind of a round table. Everybody kind of walks from guy to guy, and you can you know ask whatever you want for, I think it's like 20 minutes for each of them. And this year they're not having the special team coordinators in, which were like, you know, all the assistants, which last year I think I was the only one that even showed up. And it was just well, – I mean, it was just a grilling, just an interrogation.
A grilling.
In a friendly way of like, hey, I love what you guys do. But, yeah, it was I took up all 20 minutes for sure.
Okay, I have a couple of positional battles that I saw listed online. The person who listed them is a content creator, does a good job, but I don't think has access to coaches or practice. I saw one of the – positional battles for the Raiders listed at number 2 quarterback. Is this real? Is there a Cam Miller challenge to Akon?
I would say no right now. And I would suggest maybe that would only happen if Akon is available. Okay. Like if he's on the roster, he's number 2. I wouldn't put it out of the question that he's not on the roster.
Could you see Aiden O'Connell being available and they would lean on Cam Miller to be the number 2?
I mean, it depends obviously how Cam Miller plays. He's had a couple of practices, right? Like, right. We don't know.
Well, that's why when I read it, I was like, wow, we're boosting about the number 2 already?
Well, yeah, I don't like I said, I don't think there's a positional battle as long as O'Connell is on the roster. It's just, hey, if they like what they see out of him in the summer, they want to keep developing him. Maybe, and if they could get something really good for O'Connell. But, you know, they've got a quarterback on a rookie deal who's capable of coming in and winning games for them. He's kind of an ideal prototypical backup. Like, why mess with that? Especially Geno Smith getting older. We've seen him miss some time. Like, I would suggest you have somebody around that you're confident in.
Okay, how about a little deeper at receiver? Is Trey Tucker being challenged by one of the rookies?
I think potentially multiple rookies. I think the message is clear. They worked on the position, and I think they're also, I think, still exploring opportunities in the market for guys that could be able to come in. I think Trey Tucker could thrive potentially in this offense, but look, he's got to make it happen. He's had opportunities before, and it just hasn't come together, whether that's system or quarterback or just him. Great kid, I think very talented player, but just hasn't all come together. So, you know, will we see some Dante Thornton potentially? I mean, obviously, they love Jack Besh, and you know he'll be around in the mix. So, I think that there's guys that could potentially step up and take some of those opportunities if he doesn't, grab the bull by the horns this time with his chance.
How many positions along the offensive line are up for grabs?
I mean, I would guess. The both guard spots, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I don't necessarily think they're a completely open competition, but I think those two are there for the taking. If, you know, I think Dylan Parham is a good, solid player. Jordan Meredith last year, who gets no hype, no attention, the least assuming guy you've ever met in your life. In fact, I actually was kind of exploring things with some teammates of his last week. Because I look back and I've written 2 features about Jordan Meredith. Both of them were how nice of a guy he is. Like, just a quiet, nice guy. I'm like, there's got to be something else to him. He's literally one of the nicest people I've ever met, but he took his chance last year and was great. So, you know, will he do that again? Will he win that job? Maybe, but I think potentially that could be open.
Who is for the Jack Jones of this offseason? And what I mean by that is last offseason, by the time we got to the regular season, I thought Jack Jones was the greatest corner of all time. And it turned out to not be the case.
Well, it turned out he was just intercepting passes from Raiders quarterbacks.
Yeah, that was it. You're right. That's how it turned out. And then wouldn't tackle anyone and got all sassy during the season.
Based on watching the practices that we have, and oh, by the way, you asked what was going on. I talked about the coordinator or the assistants tomorrow. But it's Thursday is another practice day where we'll be out there watching all of practice and then talking probably to some guys afterwards. Jeremy Chin is a guy that really kind of thrived and was the first player that Pete Carroll talked about unprompted when he just said, you know, who stood out today. He had a really nice interception. He's a guy that a lot of people are talking about buzzing around practice. So we're looking, you know, particularly in the secondary, that would be a guy I would say. But by the way, a lot of them, because there was a lot of interceptions last week.
Mm. Yeah, I'm reading something here that said, during the first play of 11-on-11 last week, Jeremy Chin picked off Geno Smith over the middle. Mm. Not a great start.
Yeah.
Get that video out.
Come on. I need a shaky horizontal cam video of some throws in camp, please, Adam. I'm begging you. It's my lifeblood out here in the NFL offseason.
We love it.
So all those are team content, and I think that's not just Raiders. I think that's a lot of places. We have shooting period early in practice.
Yeah.
But we don't get any, like, 11-on-11 that we get to shoot. So,
you know, it's funny. I was telling John earlier, TikTok is just full of all these videos of practice, and I'm like, well, these people, none of them are at practice, the TikTokers. I'm like, are they just stealing it? And I was like, wait, I'm not really allowed to shoot a whole lot at UNLV practice, especially if something looks like a play. Like, they're not going to let you do that. I'm like, where are all these videos from? Oh, so it's team material, and then they're just plucking it from there. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you zoom in far enough and get rid of the watermark.
There you go. We're still breaking down schedules. Is Joe Burrow now in the news because he doesn't like the Bengals schedule?
Yeah, does he have a point? Maybe, but the NFL makes their schedules the way they make them because people want to watch certain games, and Joe Burrow's complaining that for the third straight year they're going to Baltimore on a short week on a Thursday night. Yeah, we want to watch it. Sorry, man. And the league apparently is acknowledged it and said, yeah, we're sorry, we won't do that again. Like, I want to watch the game. Like, let's put it on prime time.
I'll get it.
Thursday, when we don't really get many great games.
Exactly. We got to close on this one. Adam Hill's with us, Review Journal, part of the company. Okay, you called this. You thought there'd be a consolidation, that this could be the danger of going to a playoff that the SEC especially, as I've been calling him during the show, Jefferson Davis Sankey, mouth of the South, wants to kind of take over college football here. He's lecturing others on what is good for the game. He's saying, do your research. You know, we'd get even more playoff spots. We're being nice about this. What do you think about Sankey trying to take over college football, the SEC trying to take over college football?
I mean, not unexpected and not even that unfair. I mean, they've created this huge market, this massive, you know, desire to watch their games and, this whole narrative that they're so much better than everybody. But they are, it is people want to watch. Like, we get it. And there is some rewards that you should get for that, I suppose. But I don't like the way they're doing it. Like, just do it. Like, we've known that we're going to do this for a long time. But instead, they're like, well, we just want more playoff spots or else we're going to go home. They're just going to keep doing this nonsense every year to get more and more of what they want, but still keep other people hanging around so they can exploit them. Like, if you're going to leave, leave. If you're not, then stay. But stop every year trying to get more and more out of, like, milk, get more and more for yourself while still getting everybody else to just hang out and give you money. Leave or don't, but stop with this every year. That's my part of this.
All right, Adam, we'll check in with you a little later in the week. Thanks, bud.
Sounds good.
There he is, Adam Hill. 364-1100, 364-1100, Ace of Sparks this Friday night. Kelsey Plum back in town. More important, whoa, the A1s on full display. We're going to qualify someone here to win a pair of A1s. That's Agent Wilson's new sneaker. You also get two tickets in the ESPN Fan Zone. It's presented by Westar Credit Union and Richard Harris Law. You can get your tickets, if you don't win these, at AXS.com. Friday game, 7 o'clock, Aces against the Sparks. Caller 7 right now, 364-1100.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Knicks down 4. 8.5 minutes left in the first half. Pacers lead it 49-45. So pace-wise, what do you say about the under?
Oh, I bet the under, so I figured it would go over. But again, pace is high scoring is not indicative of a
you're
high
right.
pace.
Yeah, you're right.
So both teams right now, the Pacers' offensive rating is 144.1. That's insanity.
Right.
So we're hitting shots at a pretty high rate. Both teams' effective field goal percentage is over 70. Pacers haven't really turned the ball over either. And how much time we got left in this half?
8.5.
Yeah, you're only at about 32 possessions, so it's actually not, like, super quick. So you're wrong.
In the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I don't know what's going to happen. Caitlin Clark is down for 2 weeks, maybe more. You said you wanted to throw out or grab some low-hanging fruit.
Well, I saw immediately, and our buddy Steve Kim kind of referenced this too, their immediate reaction was like, here we go! It's time, WNBA! The reckoning is now!
Okay, what?
Nobody's going to watch! And I was like, all right, I'm kind of curious about that, and I feel like I'm going to, like, let's see what some of the ratings are, but I also feel like it's kind of lazy to just go, yup! Great White Hope's gone! You're subsidized by the NBA! It's all dead! And I was like, I don't want to be that guy.
You had a lot of yelling from the...
I feel like that's what that person sounds like.
The Clark and WNBA haters.
Yeah, I feel like that's what that person sounds like. But I am, part of me's kind of curious. Like, I mean,
I think the ratings
see what
on her games
off.
In the short term will drop a little bit, but I think it's a lot of Caitlin Clark, but if you're rooting for Clark, you want to see what the Fever do without her.
Well, I mean, that to me, too. So tomorrow they're taking on, don't tell me, I can't remember who they're playing tomorrow.
I don't know. I'll look at
it. Oh, you're supposed to be my guy.
I know.
Washington
I know.
Mystics. Thank you. But they're favorite on the road.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm really curious to see.
They have two very good players. They have a good team.
Yes, I know they're not abhorrent.
I mean, I will say when the Fever played the Liberty, Caitlin Clark, the 10 turnovers are absurd.
Yes.
She's doing too much in certain games.
Yeah.
So she does deserve to get blowback on that. Now, be careful if you do it in certain social media realms, you're going to get annihilated.
She's saving the league, Steve!
She's... helped the league a lot. She's bringing in ratings, but she's got to be a lot more efficient than turning the ball over 10 times.
I like being
They win. If she doesn't turn it over 10 times, they win that game.
Sure.
They lost a close game to the Liberty. Come on. 10 turnovers is ridiculous. She does make some passes. Now, here's the angle last year a lot of times was, well, you know, she's getting all these turnovers because her teammates stink and they can't see the ball coming and relax. I mean, the haters and the lovers of Hayden Clark have like these amazing cases that they can just keep building up.
She's almost like, it's almost like really early in the career now, but it's almost like Jordan, right? Jordan never lost a playoff game, never lost a game ever, always would have won every clutch situation. And then for Caitlin Clark, it's like, no, it's everybody else's fault. They're all letting her down.
I think intense Caitlin Clark lovers,
yeah,
down deep, probably hope the Fever go 0-5.
Oh, sure. They don't care about the team. They want them to get destroyed. That's because the other part I saw from some and like from people I know have not watched a nanosecond of women's basketball WNBA that were alleging she's like worth 8-9 points to the spread. I'm like, I think you're wrong. I don't think it's that much. And then I saw the opening line for this game against the Mystics. I was like, they're favored by 2 on the road. And like home court's pretty strong in the WNBA, so. Like, she's probably worth something. I'd garner it's probably worth like 4 points.
There's a bunch of stories we didn't get to today. I know you wanted to comment on one of them. So Friday, we had on Chris Matthews. He had talked to Mark Bedane and Steve Hill around the A's.
Hell yeah.
And he was very bullish, fired up about ceremonial groundbreaking late June. Girders start going up. Things start rising from the ground in July. But there is a factor out there with all construction.
Tariffs. And I read a great piece. This is awesome. From them, Bedane's in it. Todd Bishop, vice president of CAA Icon. Quote, first leg of the strategy, including tariffs, if they have any effect, is to source as much domestically as we can. It's a good part. That's a good leg.
Smart.
When we're not able to do that, we're trying to lock up procurement as soon as possible. Okay. And then we hit the easy button and say we have contingency in place for what may come. Wait, what is that? What does that mean?
It means that there's a possibility if it gets too expensive, they have to delay it, and we open the park in 2029.
That's the easy button? We just delay it? There's no follow-up in the article about what the easy button is.
There's no follow-up in a lot of these articles. You know the way this works.